Friends, today's liturgy gives us a wonderful lesson in love. Love, that's what makes the world go round. And what we're not talking about here is cheap Hollywood love that we see so often in the movies. And nor are we talking about mere emotions like love is when I feel good and kind of lovey-dovey. Nor are we talking about just being nice. This is the shocking, amazing, confounding, beautiful love of God. The eternal love of God, we should say. This is the love that He selflessly gives us so we can be transformed and shared abundantly with others. That's what makes the world go round. His love flowing, transforming us, flowing out from us into the world. As the Father loves me, so I also love you. What a marvelous statement from our Lord at the very beginning of today's gospel passage. It sounds kind of like things that we hear all the time, so we could easily overlook it. As the Father loves me, so I also I love you. I'm the Lord, I'm the Christ. Think about it for a minute, though. As the Father loves me, so also I love you. The Father loves His perfect and only begotten Son completely and without reserve from all eternity. That magnificent eternal bond of love they have. Christ then turns around and offers this same selfless, unconditional, infinite love to us who are far from perfect. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have this perfect bond for all eternity, and somehow they allow us to participate in it. It's magnificent. So we're not perfect like Christ, but we are beloved sons and daughters of God. Every single one of the baptized is beloved. And so Christ seeks to lead us on a lifelong journey of perfection. That's what the Christian life is. By the time we get to heaven, if we get there, hopefully we all do, you got to be perfect to get into heaven. Otherwise, you can't handle all the graces. Because we're still clinging on to something, some little speck of darkness that won't let the light in. So we have to be perfected. That's what Jesus is all about, because He wants to share the fullness of this eternal love with us for eternity. It was not you who chose me, Jesus reminds us, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain. So He didn't just choose you, He wants you to go and bear fruit that will remain. So this isn't the kind of transitory fruit. It's not like you bake cupcakes and go and give them to people and make them happy for a little bit. There's some fruit there, there's some love exchange, but this is fruit that will remain all the way to eternity. That's what He's getting at. And if we think about it for a minute, it's actually kind of mind-boggling that this, the all-perfect God, all-knowing, all-powerful, wants anything to do with us who so often turn away from Him when we choose sin instead of Him. We do it all the time, sometimes to greater or lesser gravity, to the sins, but we do it all the time. And yet, here He is, seeking each and every one of us out individually. He wants a beautiful, intimate relationship with every single one of us, a unique relationship. It's magnificent. And so He's always seeking us out to deepen this relationship, and He loves us unconditionally at all times. Even as we're wandering off, He's extending us this unconditional, eternal love. It's absolutely marvelous. And if we accept, we have to accept it. He's not going to force it on us. If we accept this crazy love of God, I say crazy because it seems almost too good to be true to us, right? Very few human beings even come close to this, the way that the Lord loves us. We see all kinds of counterfeit versions. But this crazy love of God, He's always extending His love to us. If we accept it, then we're going to see the world in a completely different light, and we're going to live radically different lives too. When we're touched by this love, we're shocked out of our sins and we're just amazed. And we're led into a whole new way of living. God's love just doesn't make things a little bit better. As if, oh wow, God loved me so I can eat chocolate every day now. Or, you know, something like that. Or now I get a new car or something like that. There's nothing wrong with those things. But God's love is far supersedes that. It literally changes everything. And for the better, always for the better. it kind of knocks our socks off and totally changes the way we approach everything. There's a useful acronym that we could use, RIM. R stands for relationship, I for identity, M for mission. And it's key for us to get those in the right order, as we're going to see. There's an example here in the first reading. But relationship with God, that's what matters the most. That's who we are, is our relationship with God. So we have to tend to that relationship first and foremost. From that relationship flows our identity as beloved sons and daughters of God, as cherished by the Lord. And then from the identity, that's where our mission comes from. That's where we understand the Lord's will for us, and then we can go and carry out His will. If we get it backwards, which oftentimes we do, we go for the mission first, then the rest of it breaks down. We'll see that here in a minute. But for the moment, let's explore this mission. What we've done thus far really focuses on the relationship and identity pieces, remain in my love, and so on. But He wants us to remain in this shocking love so we can go and bear fruit that will remain and spread these fruits to others, sharing His crazy love with others. This is what Christ calls each and every one of us to do. It's not just for the towering saints, Saint Anne, named after the church. It's not just for Mother Teresa. It's not just for Saint Paul. It's for all of us. And it often happens in very quiet ways that most people don't even know about. And that's fine. But He calls each and every one of us to do this. The question is, though, how are we supposed to respond? What are we supposed to do? Well, Christ, he gives us the answer today, very explicit, by keeping the commandments. That's what He says. You keep the commandments, you'll remain in my love. You keep the commandments, you'll be my friend. So keeping the commandments means turning away from sin. We choose God, not sin. We turn away from sin and reach out to others with self-emptying love. Not self-serving love. We're kind of professionals with the self-serving love. We're really good at that, but this is the complete opposite, self-emptying love. Love one another as I have loved you, Christ commands us. And note that this doesn't mean doing whatever feels good or feels nice or whatever we deem appropriate or fit. No, this is loving as He has loved us, as He has loved us, and as the Father has loved Him. Completely, totally, selflessly. And just to make sure we get the point, He continues, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So Christ is very clear with us. Sometimes He speaks in parables and hyperbole. Very, very clear today. Now this is tough work to do what He's asking us, for sure. And He knows that. He knows that. He never says it's easy. As a matter of fact, He says the opposite. So it's tough work, and it's paradoxical. He leads us, so His joy is going to be complete in me if I carry the cross? What are you talking about? If we look at it with worldly eyes, we're like, this is crazy. It doesn't make any sense. But as He says elsewhere, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And so it's tough, and it's kind of paradoxical. But it's a wonderful adventure. It's a blessed adventure. It's the best way we can possibly live, the most peace and joy we're ever going to experience. Because the Lord doesn't just throw us out there and say, do your best. No, He walks with us every step of the way. And He affirms us and He loves us. Now, what is boring is actually sin, not following God. Sin is what's boring. We know what's going to happen if we sin. You know, a lot of the big sins, we know. We just look around our communities. Look at our world. Look at our state. Look at our country. Every time you get the same result. It might be a thrill in the moment to go out and get hammered or to go and do this or that. But at the end of the day, it's boring. We know what the results are going to be, and it's not going to lead us to happiness. But if we follow the Lord, it's this magnificent adventure. We never quite know what's going to happen when we follow the Lord, but we know He's going to be leading us to flourishing, leading us deeper and deeper into His loving embrace. And that's where we want to be. And so Jesus isn't some kind of taskmaster here, says, you're my friend only if you follow my commandments. That's the only way we can remain in His love. That's why He wants us to follow the commandments, because He wants us to be with Him, intimately united in relationship with Him. He instructs us to do this so that His joy may be in us and our joy may be complete. That's what He says in that gospel passage. And now today's second reading is very closely related to our gospel passage today, which they both have the same author, the gospel in the first letter of John, so it's not too surprising. And so this second reading reinforces these key themes that we've pulled out of the gospel passage. Let us love one another, John says. Sounds an awful lot like what Christ said two or three times, right? Let us love one another, not because it sounds good, but because love is of God. And only those who love like God truly know God. Now, know here, knowledge, what we're talking about, isn't like head knowledge. I know things about God. It's, I've experienced firsthand this wonderful, transforming, merciful, shocking love of God. And I want more of it. That's knowing God. But John also presents the opposite. So, on the contrary, whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In order to know God, who is love, we love like Him. Because once He loves us, we can't help but share that crazy love with others. And now, as we saw earlier, we're not talking about here just being nice or about warm fuzzies or anything like that. No, sometimes loving involves being nice and warm fuzzies, but many times it doesn't. Love is all about willing the good of the other. That's a famous definition from St. Thomas Aquinas. Willing the good of the other and leading the other to the truth. And this can be difficult. Sometimes we see our friends or our family members, they're really going in a bad way. They're almost going off a cliff, and are we just going to stand there and watch them? Hopefully not. We're gonna do our best to try to redirect them. That's love, leading the other to the truth, which is often quite difficult, and it requires sacrifice of us, by definition. And by doing this, we become Eucharistic people. That's what we're supposed to be, building up the body of Christ, reaching out to others in self-emptying love. That's what we're all called to do. And God shows us again exactly what this looks like. Jesus alluded to it in the gospel passage. It is not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as expiation for our sins. Expiation is a fancy term for He took on the punishment that we deserved for our sins. He opened up the path to forgiveness, the path to heaven for us. And now, God the Father calls us to take full advantage of this victory of Christ by allowing Him to love us out of our sin and our misery, our darkness, and open our eyes to see Him and the world as they really are. In a word, this is conversion. This is what happens when we allow the Lord to transform us. And so then we can go out and gather in as many disciples as possible. That's evangelization. Conversion necessarily leads to evangelization. Today's first reading, now, as I alluded to earlier, it gives us a great illustration of the radical transformation that God's love is intended to bring about if we just accept it. So something totally unthinkable happens here. Unthinkable for Jews and also for the Gentiles that are present. And this thing that's unthinkable suddenly becomes a source of great glory and rejoicing. And it comes all the way down to today. Because what we're talking about is the Gentiles were able to receive the Holy Spirit, receive the same graces that the Jews were able to receive. Nobody even thought that was possible, but it is. And thank goodness, because all of us are beneficiaries. Maybe there's a few of us that might have some Jewish blood, but I don't have a drop. I know myself. And so I'm one of the Gentiles. And so if this hadn't happened, if God wouldn't have allowed this to happen, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be able to partake in His love. Now, getting back to that passage, Peter has a previous vision where it's made obvious to him. He's forced to accept the reality that God shows no partiality, as we heard. Rather, Peter confesses, in every nation, whoever fears God and acts uprightly is acceptable to Him. But God's not done yet. He ups the ante, so to speak, big time, by sending down the Holy Spirit upon all these people as they're listening to Peter. While he's listening, they start speaking in tongues and praising God, and the Jews are just shocked. They're astounded. Like, wow, the Lord sent down the Holy Spirit on them just like He did for us. And then Peter says, well, we can't hold back the waters of baptism from them, right? Clearly God wants this to happen. So these God-fearing Gentiles are then baptized and made members of the body of Christ. So beautiful, so wonderful. And this is a great example of that acronym I mentioned earlier, R-I-M. At first, Peter and the other Jews have it backwards. They get this mission. They're going on a mission and they're doing what they think is right, but they haven't spent enough time tending to their relationship with the Lord, so they don't quite understand exactly what God wants. Only when we put relationship, our relationship with God first, do we clearly understand our identity, and then from there, we understand what our mission is, what God's calling us to do. And so Peter and the Jews, are their minds and hearts are redirected, so they start to see as God does. Okay, friends, as we draw this to a close, don't take the boring route of life that leads you away from God and away from eternal life with Him. Looking for love in all the wrong places, we might say, to invoke that famous song. Don't let worldly thinking distort your understanding of who you are and who God is and what He's all about. Don't let it happen. Instead, allow yourself to be amazed. Allow yourself to be thankful for this crazy love of God and to be transformed by it. Follow His summons. Be not afraid. Accept this crazy love. And by doing this, you're going to learn how to let Him love you. And then He teaches you how to love others. And then finally, you'll embark on the most fun and exciting adventure you can possibly have. The only adventure that will lead you to flourishing and freedom now and guide you to the eternal joys of heaven.